today as we come to the table.
I don't know if God's going to ever let us go back and watch any of this on like TiVo or something like that. I don't know whether God's going to do, but I'd love to say, Lord, I just want to see that scene. I want to watch the look on their faces and they go, where are they? They're not there. They're preaching. You know, they're going, what? I love it. I love it. And again, notice this too. I love these guys. Of course, they had an angel encouraging them, but I would think if there was ever a day to sleep in, you just got let out of prison. They want to kill you. You're free. And they go early to do exactly the thing that got them put in prison in the first place. Is that cool or what? That's boldness. That's the move of the Holy Spirit. That's what God does in the believer's heart.
When the Holy Spirit begins moving in your heart, bold actions follow, like the apostles who went out to preach again early the next day when they had just escaped prison. Your life can be filled with moves that bold. Your life can be one of audacious faith just like theirs. Pastor Mark says you just need the Spirit. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. If you're looking for more out of your walk with Christ, listen in to today's message. You'll be filled with a passion to move boldly into the world around you. Faith in Jesus was never intended to be passive. Find a fresh fire today and watch how the Spirit will move you to greater and bolder things along the way. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 5 as he begins his message, Our Unstoppable God.
While we open our Bibles up to Acts chapter 5, and while you guys are turning there to Acts, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. And again, Lord, we thank you for a time to worship, a time to praise, and now, Lord, a time to get into your word. And God, as we get to this passage today, and we see, Lord, the fact that you are unstoppable. You are an unstoppable God. Lord, we want to be those that are used by you. We know that you're going to do what you're going to do regardless, because you're God. But God, we want to be those that get used. We want to be the ones, God, that are that voice, the hands and the feet for you. And I pray, God, if there are any here today that don't know you, that before they leave this place today, they would know you. And Lord, that we would all be just, Lord, seeking you for the boldness that we need in the days in which we live. Lord, you know the things we're facing today, even in America. And so we need to be bold and we need to be courageous. And Lord, we need to be unashamed of our God. And that is something you do by your Spirit and by your grace. And I pray that even as we see the disciples today walking in that you would give that to us as well. And we thank you, Lord, and pray you would teach us now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, guys, you remember the setting. Well, the last couple of weeks, we've been on the Temple Mount, okay? We're still up on the Temple Mount with the disciples and the nation there, you know, just now having crucified the Lord and the disciples being a witness up there on the Temple Mount. And remember what they did to the disciples? They locked them up in prison, Peter and John. And Peter and John, of course, came out, gave them the gospel, and the Sanhedrin got mad and hated them. You know the story if you hadn't been here. If you haven't, then read up. You can catch up with us later. We can't go back and recap all of it. But then again, they go back up to the Temple Mount. Remember to teach. They commanded them to no longer teach in this name. Do not preach or teach in the name of Jesus. And yet they went back up to the temple and began to preach and teach in the name of Jesus boldly. And as we can predict, it's going to get them in trouble again, even as it got them in trouble last time. But you know, it's interesting. As we look at this whole passage, before we get into it, throughout history, men have tried to stop the word of God and the work of God, but you can't stop it. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. And so when you guys go out in the name of the Lord, you're going out with something that can't be defeated. Is that cool or what? I mean, it's not just like we have this thing we like and we're this group and we're gathering together. We have the all-powerful word of God, the all-powerful God backing us up. And we go out with the gospel and give the word of God. And again, it's going to be opposed. We know that. Satan's going to oppose it. Man's going to oppose it. But what's really exciting to me about this particular passage today is that you can't stop it. It's like this unstoppable freight train with no brakes that just keeps plowing through everything in its path. That's what the word of God is like. And so our job is simply to be faithful to put it out there, just to proclaim the word of God, to let people know. And although, as I said, many people have tried to stop it, they can't. You know, it's interesting. In our own nation, we see this happening, don't we? We sang a lot about the name of Jesus today, and we kind of focused on the name of Jesus today because that's where the power is. If you go to your workplace or you go out in public and you speak and you say pretty much any other name, Buddha, Allah, you know, speak of Hinduism or Krishna or whatever you want to speak of, people are not really offended by that. And it doesn't really seem to have that much impact. But if you speak the name of Jesus, I mean, people come out of the woodwork. Anybody been a part of that? There's something about that name. You say the name of Jesus and the demonic realm trembles because they know that his name is power. They know that his name is real. It's the only name that has any real power to it and can change lives. That is what they're trying to silence. Today we're going to see is the speaking of the name of Jesus and the good news of Jesus. It's interesting, right after the service, somebody said to me, that just happened to me this week at my workplace. They told me I could no longer say the name of Jesus. And who would have ever dreamed in America that we'd be told that we can't say the name of Jesus, that we're being held back from what the Lord, you know, has asked us to do? But guys, this is the challenge, and this is the challenge of these verses here between 17 and 42 as we finish up chapter 5 today is, what are we going to do when they ask us not to proclaim the name of the Lord? Have you ever been in that situation? High school graduates, I'm sure you have. The commencements, maybe involved in the government. If you involve a government job, you can't say the name of Jesus. You know, maybe it's in certain places. I mean, it's happened to me before. And again, as a pastor, it's interesting. It doesn't cease to amaze me that someone would call me up and say, we want you to come and pray for this event, but you can't pray in the name of Jesus. I mean, I'm thinking, why in the world did you call me? What am I going to pray in the name of Mark? You know, what am I going to pray in? You know, God help us all, right? I am a minister of the gospel. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. I'm going to come in the name of Jesus. I'm going to speak in the name of Jesus. Guys, we're going to get more and more opposition, and I think that God is prepping us. I really believe that this kind of passage right here is getting us prepped for what's coming down the road. What are we going to do as a church when people say you can't use the name of the Lord? They find it offensive. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who are not offended in me. And we're going to see that with Jesus and the disciples, they did it anyway. They weren't obnoxious. They weren't rude. They just spoke the truth in love, and God used them. Well, let's jump into it. Remember the scene from last week? Again, they were doing signs and wonders, even the shadow. They were trying to get Peter's shadow to fall on him because the church was being used in such power. It had just been purified by Ananias and Sapphira being removed. Remember, they were the ones that were bringing hypocrisy into the church, and there was a purity to the church, a richness to the church that is really hard to recapture in our day and age. Why? Because there was a purity, that a commitment that is hard to find in this day and age. Remember what the early church did. They sold everything they had and gave it to the Lord. I am not suggesting that, because again, we saw that for them, it didn't work. And I believe that it's a recipe that wouldn't work for the church today. You eventually run out of money if you do that. That is not the wisest plan. However, it's not the plan so much that I want to focus on as the heart behind the plan. Guys, here's the question for us. Do we have the kind of hearts at Calvary Chapel Knoxville that would give everything we have for the Lord? Again, God's not going to ask you to do that. He may. It would be very rare. Throughout history, there's been people he's done that to. But for the most part, God's not saying go sell everything you own, give it to the church, and do all these things. But what God wants is a heart that says, are you willing to do that? Mark, would you really give me everything? Oh, you can stand up in front of the people and say that. Would you really? I guess I'd never really know until I was tested, would I? What about you guys? Some of you probably, yeah, I would. I'm with you, Pastor Mark. I would just, it's all done, right? Okay, would you really? This is not a challenge. I'm not even double daring you, pinky dare. I'm not doing any of that. I'm making a point. That's the heart he wants us to have. If we have hearts here that are willing to say, wherever you say to go, I'll go. Whatever you say to do, I'll do. However you say to do it, I'll do it. If we have hearts that way, God could do in this fellowship and in the Church of America what he did in Acts in the early church. But the problem is, guys, we have so much of us that's still there. How many of us today are still holding a part of us back? God's been saying, give it all to me. Give it all. Give it all. And what are we saying? Not yet, not yet. Give it all. Not yet. But why? You know what's funny? I had that struggle of God saying, Mark, give it all to me. I gave my life to the Lord. I did. I got saved, but I didn't give it all yet. I held some back. And I think there's this fear of this, you know, if I give it all, it's not going to be maybe as fun. Or if I give it all, I can't do everything I want to do. Or if I give it all, I can't. You know what I found out? I found out that once I gave it all, that's when the fun began. I found out that once I gave it all, that's when life started. Jesus said, you want to find your life? Lose it. But you want to keep your life? You'll never understand true life. Because we were born to die. And that's just how it is. And Jesus died for us. just die to ourself and then inherit eternal life with the Lord. That's what we're into today as we get into this. Well, let's just jump into it. Notice here with that setting, what has happened, if you remember, is they're preaching the gospel. There's power. They've given everything. God's moving in amazing ways in the early church. And it says, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, note that, and they were filled with indignation. Why did I say note that? Because remember the Sadducees. There were two groups in that day that made up their government for their nation and for their religion purposes, their spiritual purposes. The Pharisees, which were pretty right on, it's just they got legalistic and didn't know God. But a lot of their doctrine was right on. The Sadducees, they were just really weird. I mean, the Sadducees didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe in the angel of the Lord. They didn't believe in anything but the first five books of the Bible. They didn't even believe in the Holy Spirit. That's why they were sad, you see. Now, I know that's bad, but you'll remember that the rest of your life. The rest of your life, you'll remember, oh yeah, the Sadducees, they're the ones that didn't believe in anything. Holy Spirit, you know, the resurrection, all that. And so why is that important to point out here? Because it was the Pharisees that really opposed the Lord initially. The Sadducees begin to oppose him now. Why? Because they're preaching the resurrection. They're hitting right at the heart of what they believe. This is their faith, what they believe in. So they're hitting right at the heart of it. They don't like this. And so the Sadducees rise up against it. Notice they are filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and they put them in the common prison. So they locked them up for preaching Jesus. Amazing. Indignation here means fury. Again, and you know why they were so angry? Because again, they're basically going against everything the Sadducees believe. And can you imagine, I try to think about being involved in some religious group like that, that you were the leader of it. Or maybe being someone who's been a pastor your whole life and not even being saved. I've met guys like that. I had a friend who led his dad to the Lord. His dad was a pastor his whole life. And he prayed and prayed and began to share with him. And his dad gives his life to the Lord. I think it's some kind of crusade. As he was sharing with him and leading him to the Lord. And then God pulled him in, I think, through a crusade thing or whatever. But can you imagine the humility that would take? Can you imagine pouring 40, 50, 60 years into ministry and realizing one day I never even knew Christ? And then having to get back, and I would hope the person would go back to the churches they were at and say, you know what, I never knew the Lord. I'm so sorry, but I know him now and you can too. And so they were preaching the very thing to these guys who said they knew the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. They're getting angry because they're hearing about the Lord, which is a response of those who are in that religious position and don't know the Lord. You take them the Bible, I can promise you, they're going to get mad at you. That's part of it. And notice, but at the night, so they lock him in prison, verse 19, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. Can you imagine that scene? Now, we're going to see in a minute, the guards never knew it. And I guess no one else in the prison knew it, unless there was no one else in there, because you don't hear anything else about it. The guards, we're going to see the next day, are still standing outside the prison with the doors closed. Did they supernaturally walk through the door? Did the angel open it and just blind the guards that were there? I don't know, but either way, they got out. With Peter later on, we know that he just opened the door and Peter came out and they didn't see it. Somehow they were blinded to it. Maybe the Lord just brought them straight out of there by some supernatural means. I don't know. But either way, the angel comes and these guys, you know, see an angel and he says, now go and stand. That'd be an encouraging thing, wouldn't it? Have an angel appear to you and say, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. What life? Jesus. That's the message we're supposed to bring right there, all of us. Not just them, us today. We are commanded to go and speak the message of this life. We're commanded to speak the message of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And truly it is life, because as his word says, he is the life. He is the way. And so they do it. I think about, you know, think about being locked up in prison and thinking, oh no, man, I've been locked up for my faith. And now they open the door. If you needed an encouragement and a boost in courage, this would do it, would it not? An angel show up, hey, you know, wake up. Who are you? I'm an angel. Now get up there and preach the gospel. You got it. You talk about a boost for boldness, that would be it. And notice when they heard that, they entered the temple early. I have that underlined. Early in the morning, and they taught. But the high priest and those with them came and called the council together with all of the elders of the children of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have them brought. What a scene. If anybody wants to make a movie, I mean, some of these scenes in the Bible are really almost comical, but they're powerful. You see, they were all gathering. The Sanhedrin's all gathering in their special Sanhedrin room. It's like this big, long, you know, rectangle-shaped room with 35 seats on one side, 35 seats on the other, a panel of 70, if you will, the high priest presiding at the front over all of it. And they gathered together in all their robes and all their pomp and all their circumstance, and they say, now go and get our prisoners and bring them back, and we're going to tell them they need to continue to shut up, and we're going to get them in trouble and whatever we decide to do to these guys. And we're going to see they wanted to kill them. And so while they're doing all that and getting ready, God's already got them out, and they're already out sharing the Lord again in the temple. Is this great or what? I just love, you know, I don't know if God's going to ever let us go back and watch any of this on like TiVo or something like that. I don't know whether God's going to do, but I'd love to say, Lord, I just want to see that scene. I want to watch the look on their faces. And they go, where are they? They're not there. They're preaching. You know, they're going, what? I love it. I love it. And again, notice this too. I love these guys. Of course, they had an angel encouraging them, but I would think if there was ever a day to sleep in, you just got let out of prison. They want to kill you. You're free. And they go early to do exactly the thing that got them put in prison in the first place. Is that cool or what? That's boldness. That's the move of the Holy Spirit. That's what God does in the believer's heart. And so they're gathered together, rising early to get there. And here it goes. Look at this scene. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they go down there looking for them. They're gone. They returned and reported saying, and I bet it was probably with some emotion, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside in front of the doors. But when we opened them, nobody was inside. It's like they're gone. Now, this is really wild because I think I've been in this prison before. There weren't many prisons in Jerusalem at that time. Matter of fact, they didn't have that many prisons in the whole area of the Middle East. You know, typically, if you did something wrong, they put you to death. But for the prisons that they did hold you until trial or whatever, there weren't many of them. There may have been another one in Jerusalem, but typically you wouldn't have but one or two in a town. And they found a prison below Caiaphas's house, a dungeon down there, where they kept the Lord. I got a chance to go in that the last time we were in Israel. And I was thinking, if that's this prison, there is no way out, I promise you. I went down to the bottom of it. I looked around. It's like a cave. You go down in it, it's dark. There's one door in, there's one door out. You can't get out of the thing. And so the guards would have known nobody came out this door. I mean, you would think that somebody in there is, you know, kind of letting them out or something happened. I'm surprised they didn't get in trouble for that. But you couldn't get out of it. And notice it says, indeed, we found, you know, the doors locked secure, but they were not inside. And guys, this brings up a point that we need to understand, especially as we begin to step out in boldness for the Lord in a society that's becoming more and more aggressive against the Lord. And that is this. You know, guys, you can lock up God's people, but you can't lock up God's word. You can try to stop the work of God, but you can't stop the work of God. God is unstoppable. God will do what he's going to do. He will do it in his time, and he is in control. You know, one of the things about being a prophecy buff is that you can talk about a lot of things that can be a little bit disheartening. But the cool thing about that is to realize that although God tells us what's going to happen and there are some wild things in the future yet to happen, who's in control of all of it? God is. He sits on the throne. He runs the show. And here, if he wants to supernaturally take somebody out of prison, he can supernaturally take somebody out of prison. You can't lock up the word of God. And by the way, when you're sharing with someone and you think, man, I shared with them, it didn't do any good. Look, they can say all they want. I don't believe and I don't agree with that. And that's your interpretation. But you've now released the word of God in their heart. And guys, it hits that heart and begins to work. They've got to go to sleep with that. They've got to let that germinate. They've got to hear the words of the Lord. You tell somebody, Jesus said this, no one goes to the Father except by me. Or in Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that you just go through Jesus. I think you can go through all these other religions. And I don't believe he's the only name. Okay, all right, that's fine. Rest well. And when they lay in bed at night, they've got to go, he never said that. Where did he say that? He did say that. He really said that. Well, he's just prideful. Wow, Jesus couldn't be prideful. Well, he'd never lie. I mean, I don't think he lied, even though I believe it. Well, he just didn't know any better. I'm like, probably did. You see what happens? When you plant the word of God, that powerful seed in the heart, it doesn't matter where they're coming from, they have to deal with it. It now becomes this monster that they've either got to squelch and crush by choice or decide to give in. Our job is not to save anyone. We can't. Our job is to open up the cage and let the lion out. When you open up the cage of God's door, you cannot lock it in there. You can't keep it in. It's going to come roaring out, and it's going to do amazing and powerful things. It's just the nature of God's word. And so notice this. Nobody's there. Now they're like, what? You can try to get the scene in your mind. And when the high priest, verse 24, the captain of the temple and the chief priests of the temple heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. I mean, they're just standing there kind of going, what's going on? What do we do? And so one came and told them, saying, look. So somebody sees them. Look. The men that you put in prison, they're standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. How did this happen? You know, they're really upset. You know, first of all, you'd think they'd be too scared to go back and do it again, but now they're out there and they're going for it. They're teaching the people, you know, and so these guys are freaking out. So immediately they get their guys together to go arrest them. Look at this. Then the captain went with the officers and he brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. So many of the people liked them. There was so much favor for what they were doing that they were afraid to grab them with violence because the people would turn on them. And I'll tell you, over in the Middle East, it doesn't take much to get a rock concert started. I mean, it just, well, I'm serious. One small event and they begin to fly. You know, you don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's a major weapon over there. And so they're scared of them. They won't do it. And so notice this, when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Remember, we saw a couple of weeks ago where they were up on the Temple Mount. He said, do not preach anymore in this name, Jesus. And again, that same spirit that we see even today, don't we? Don't say the name of Jesus. Say any other name, but don't say the name of Jesus. You know, we'll have a moment of silence. But don't anybody say the name of Jesus. You might even be able to pray, but don't say the name of Jesus. Say something, whatever. Make it sound magnanimous or, you know, whatever you want to do, but don't say the name of Jesus. And so the same thing, we strictly commanded you. We forbid you. And remember, these were their governmental authorities. This was the law, if you will, commanding them not to teach in this name. And but you remember what they said, and they said, look, whether it's right to obey God or you, you decide. We have to speak the name of the Lord. We have to speak what we've seen and heard. And they're going to say the same thing here in just a moment because they've already told him this. He says, look, you filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. What a great accusation. Wouldn't it be great if those who didn't love the Lord and know the Lord in Knoxville accused all of the churches, just the church in general that's here in Knoxville, you filled Knoxville with your doctrine. Thank you. It's a compliment. It's not a bad thing. These guys were being used by the Lord. What a great accusation for somebody to say, you filled this whole place with your doctrine, because it went against their doctrine. And notice, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us. Look, his blood is exactly where it needs to be on you because you're the one who cried for him to be crucified. You are guilty. And I love this because they're trying to intimidate him. And Peter's going to say in just a minute, yeah, you did murder him. You are the one that's guilty. Really, yeah, he's really going to lay in thick and get him really upset here in just a minute. But again, what a great accusation. We love to be guilty of that. You're right. And notice what Peter says. I love it. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Again, keeping their stand. God told us to preach this. We're preaching it. And by the way, it doesn't say that he told them that an angel let him out, but that was another thing the Sadducees didn't believe in. And I wonder if they didn't say it. Some went, look, we were in there. How'd you get out? An angel let us out. And we kept, you know, angels don't exist. Really? Well, go talk to him and y'all work it out, you know. You know, I find a lot of people that stand in doctrinal or theological positions because they've been taught that by their professor or by their church or whatever, but it's not really in the Bible. Then they'll try to tell you something that is in the Bible that's happened in your life is not real. Well, that's not real. That doesn't happen anymore. That's not. Fine. You work it out. All I know is that it happened. And it's between you. Is it in the Word of God? Yes. Then you need to believe it. It's the Word of God.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.